You're listening to WBGO Newark, 88.3 FM, online at WBGO.org. I am so thrilled to have a dear friend. We've been friends for years and definitely bonded in a limousine back from...
not a bad way.
Right. I'm sipping on some splits of champagne or something. From,
very glamorous. Yes.
The Peter Jennings Jazz. That was quite a weekend, and we miss Peter Jennings as well. Yeah. Claudia Cunha is here. I'm Sheila Anderson. This is Salon Sessions and Weekend Jazz After Hours, and we just heard from her CD, En Este Momento, and the song That's What They Say. It's a beautiful song. It's a great recording. And I'm happy you came out to Newark tonight in this rainy, rainy Sunday morning, or I say Saturday night. So let's get to it. First, you are going to be at the Newark Museum this coming Thursday, 12:15 to 1:45, Jazz in the Garden. We're looking forward to having you there. And so let's talk about, just from the beginning, for those who may not be familiar with you and your work, coming from Chile, what got you to New York?
Jazz.
Jazz. So you just woke up and said, I'm coming to New York, and that's that?
Yeah, well, I was already in Chile sort of making my name, if I may say, and my dream since I discovered this music was to come to New York and go to the jam sessions and go to the Vanguard and go from one club to another one. And I was like, what better way for a Chilean girl to learn even more the tradition from outside, from the books and the CDs or cassette at the time.
Yes.
Then New York, and that's what I did.
Did you have friends here?
No. I knew a few people that I have met in Chile that from here. But it was one of those things that people was like, yeah, call me when you come to New York. And then you call and...
Crickets?
Kind of, but a few of them were extremely kind to show me around show me around clubs and explain from how to take the train to, you know, certain things from the city.
Where did you live?
I came and live in Washington Heights for a few months, to a year almost, and then I moved down to the West Village, and I was paying a room to a musician at the time that rented a room.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, in 97, I think, 98, I moved to Brooklyn.
Yeah, wow.
And I've been a Brooklyn girl.
So you're a Brooklynite now. BK all the way.
Yes, baby.
Oh, God's country. I lived in Brooklyn for like 2 years and when I first moved in 1980. And, you know, it was different. I lived in Crown Heights and Flatbush and different places. But, I always loved Brooklyn. I just hated getting there.
Everybody did. I remember when I first said to some friends, I'm moving to Brooklyn. Where? Or you would try to take a yellow cab and they would stop like, where are you going? Brooklyn. No, I'm going to Brooklyn.
No. It was bad. It was bad in the 90s. Even I was living, actually, I had moved to Harlem at that point, but I lived in Queens and it was hard to get to Queens. And, you know, cabs were, they weren't going out of the borough if they didn't have to.
Not anymore.
Yeah, that's right. New day.
New day.
Now Brooklyn's like the most expensive. I read it's the most expensive of all the boroughs, which is fascinating.
It is.
That's why they're coming uptown. It's like, how did this happen? We're the alternate universe.
Uptown.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, when you did come to New York, because you kind of came at the end of the glory days, I call it.
I believe so. I did. Between the record label era, plus we're so blessed to have the amount of clubs there were at the time, and for us to run into like George Benson will come and sit in at the Zinc Bar, Tony Bennett,
right.
Visiones. Ray Brown, Stanley Turrentine, Betty Carter, and you name it.
That's right.
And I was able to see the last few nights of Bradley's.
Yeah, me too.
And you know, it's like you walk in and all these people that you have read about it or see a cover of a CD or cassette or LP, and then they're right there and you have a chance to shake their hands or just see them performing with younger musicians. And it was like the backyard of your home and a bunch of people just being completely happy to see each other, and they were play like effortlessly, you know, and beautifully.
Yeah. Well, what do you think has contributed to what is, and I think it's kind of an apparent division between the generations. I don't see the same kind of camaraderie across generations. I see a few of the older guys. Well, it's relative what's older, what's younger. I guess anything not 30, you know, but, you know, I mean, Lou Donaldson still goes out, you know.
Correct.
He's, you know, 90, and, you know, Russ Malone's always out. He's checking out the scene. But I, you know, there used to be a time when I would go see, let's say, Tommy Flanagan or Ahmed Jamal, and all the young pianists were there.
Yes.
And, you know, or whatever, pick an instrument. And vice versa, because the older guys will come and check out the young guys. And I don't see it as much. What do you have an opinion as to what's happening in the jazz community?
I think...
or not, I guess.
If I may humbly say, maybe the only factor that... Not the only factor, but one factor that is very strongly is the social media. You don't have to leave your house, and you can watch, you know, so-and-so playing live from jazz at Lincoln Center or from Mesro. And maybe we have gotten a little too comfortable sometimes. Mm-hmm. Maybe as a generation of musicians that also don't physically... walk on this earth anymore and come to places like they used to, you know. I remember the bar Sweet Basil. People would finish the Vanguard and that would be the stop.
That's right.
And it wouldn't matter if the show was over. It will always be a gathering at the end of the bar of people talking, even if the bar was closed, you know.
Yes.
So you would gather around and sometimes just like hang like a little puppy, just listening to what all these people would talk.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happens right now, that A isn't generation that doesn't exist anymore physically, versus this new generation who Russell Malone, Brad Meldow, Roy Hargrove, Bill Charlap will come and play, and the place is packed. It's just a different feel, maybe. Plus, again, you know, I'm a mom now, so I can go out as I used to. But I love the fact that I can put my kids to sleep, and I tune into Mesro, and I see or hear so-and-so, you know, and I wish I was there, but at least I'm getting that, you know? So it's this double standard of how great it is, but also... You know,
yeah,
the disconnection that you think it is, and it might be, but it's just this reinvention that I feel like I personally, I'm still trying to gather my senses around.
Well, I guess, you know, in a way, technology is bringing us closer, but also in a way farther away.
Correct.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Well, you brought in Harry Whitaker, and he's someone I used to see a lot, especially at Arturo's. Talk about his significance to you and why you brought in this CD.
He was my mentor. He was the first person who encouraged me strongly to show my side as an arranger and a composer, and to be completely fearless and free to just be the musician that I wanted to be without put in my own limitations. And he was someone that at the time at small, some of us will have keys and you assign a book to rehearse.
Really?
And it was almost like if you got there before me, you will sign the time. And sure, if it was a problem, there was even a phone call, a phone number to reach out. Uh-huh. And I remember it was Harry, we used to go almost every day. We had a pact that one winter we were going to rehearse every day at Smalls and build a repertoire. Mm-hmm. And just like arrange things and learn from me. And I remember Charles Owens, a saxophone player, would help me strongly with pronunciation. And even Del Fitzgerald, I never forget how he helped me with Bewitch, Bother, and Bewilder. And oh, Russ Mosto, you know, it was, and it was this whole thing with Harry that we'll get together there and learn music and talk about music and listen. He showed me all this chords that I knew how to play in now in the piano, and just this dedication and this everyday commitment of being there and learning from someone who was so magical and such a genius. And yeah, that was years of hanging out and learning from this master, and I call it one of my mentors.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Harry Whitaker was hanging out at Smalls. I remember him from our tours and other places, and what a nice guy, too.
Amazing.
What a nice guy.
Very. We miss him.
Yes, dearly. Absolutely. Wow, I'm thinking, you know, because I started on BGO in 95, and, you know, so you're bringing back all these memories of the 90s hang. But we're going to listen to, yeah, what a hang. Harry Whitaker Trio, The Sound of Harry Whitaker, with Pat O'Leary on bass and Craig Whooper on drums. We'll listen to John Coltrane's Equinox on WBGO Newark, 88.3 FM at WBGO.org. She's a Claudia Acuna, and I'm Sheila Anderson. And up next, Harry Whitaker. Harry Whitaker was definitely one of a kind. Just a nice guy. I'm Sheila Anderson. This is Salon Sessions, and my guest is Claudia Acuna. We're going to hear from Kenny Kirkland from his only release, and I want to talk about Kenny. I was happy to have known him, hung out with him a bit, especially at Zeno's. He and Tane were always there, and wow, the 90s. I mean, I get goosebumps. You're saying you're getting goosebumps. I get goosebumps when I think about it. You know, we just hang out the bar, talk, and, you know, smoke, whatever, just, you know, just hanging out, mm-hmm. you know, talking about music and stuff like that. What was so special to you as a musician about Kenny Kirkland?
Right the year before I moved to the United States in New York, I learned about Kenny. And I've loved the way he plays and the music. And then a friend of mine who loved Sting was like, oh my God, that guy that you were showing me the other day is playing on Sting's first solo album. And look at this, this Branford Marsalis and all this stuff. And then as I moved to New York and I'm going to Barry Harry's workshops and I start hanging out with Harry, I meet Kenny at the Zinc Bar with Tane and everybody else that used to hang out. And Kenny have just visited Chile at the time.
Ah.
And we have some friends in common. I met his mom and he became one of those very, very dear friends. And him, Tane and Dwayne Bruno did one of my first gigs. And I don't think I've ever sweat so much in my life. They have no compassion that day for me, in a good way. They were playing like, we're going to play and you're going to sing. And I was like, whoa! It was one of those nights.
Yeah. Where was the gig?
Metronome.
Oh, I remember Metronome, of course. Of course.
And Kenny was just like a big brother, you know, and he will, again, drive me to Brooklyn. And he was a very dear friend of my roommate at the time and an amazing singer too, Marilyn. And Kenny was just so magical. And I always had this similarity I felt for me or connection between him and Harry. It was something very dear and very connected with them to me, and musically mm-hmm. very connected. Mm-hmm. And I was just amazed to be able to hang out with people like that and hear them play and talk and
yeah,
like nothing, you know. And I was in a cloud for so long,
yeah,
hanging around them. And this was his only record, and
right.
It's one of my favorites, so that's why I brought it.
Kenny Kirkland, pianist on WBGO. And Claudia Cunha's here, bringing some great music. We're going to hear from Elise Regina, and let's talk about her. I think we don't talk enough about Elise Regina and just how great she was, Brazilian. But talk about Elise.
Well, to me, Elise Regina, it is and will be the best ever, ever, that have walked this planet in that country, the best Brazilian singer ever. Geographically, we can just define her as that, but her voice, her interpretation, her energy, her rhythmically, it was just pure just talent and beauty. In I think the definition of a jazz singer, the way of improvise and connect to the musicians and the music and have this conversation, like the greatest, like Ella will do it, like Billy will do it, like Sarah is a vocalist, you know, and many others that we know. I think for me, she was that person that started opening up my eyes into, I can do this music, I can follow this tradition and bring my own voice to it, respecting the tradition and knowing that music is just, it's like all of us. You cut me, I cut the guy in the corner, we have her blood. We mm-hmm. all go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. right, exactly.
It's certain elements in this music that I feel you find people from extremes in the world and you find this connection that can be collectively united and defined, that comes from the same mother, if I may say.
Yeah.
Elise, to me, was one of those people that I will just listen and vibrate in and get inspired.
So when did you decide that you wanted to be a professional jazz singer?
Always. I think it was... I hear stories of my parents or my aunts, you know, or my grandmother when she was alive. And I was one of those kids that, or one of those humans that I always knew that this is what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, and because the way I was brought up, I thought that I was a reincarnation of someone who came to finish something that they didn't, you know, in another life.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I don't want to go to another life asking myself, what if? And that's why I think
too.
I took the bus from the south of Chile to the capital and from the capital to New York, and here I am.
And did your family freak out when you did that? Or
yes, they did.
Yeah. They didn't send armed guards to come and get you, though.
Pretty much. My dad was like, have you asked for permission? I was like, I finished high school and I'm 18. Oh. See you later. And for them, that was like, okay, you've been reading too many American books and stuff, because back home in my generation, you will not leave your house at 18 years old. You would leave your house with a wedding dress.
That's right.
To another, you know.
That's right.
So the 18 years, it was like from the movies from here, that kids would leave home mm-hmm. when they're 18. So I was like,
right.
See you later.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. And you haven't looked back. Wow. That's incredible. Well, let's listen to Elise Regina. And a song.
I love this song.
Casa no Campo, right?
Yeah, una casa en un campo. It's basically like, I want to have a house in the country where I can see my birds and the music and gather my friends and celebrate life. It's just beautiful.
Claudia Cunha with me. And this is Salon Sessions. And time is going by so fast. Oh, my goodness. We have more music to get to, including up next, Alice Coltrane. Goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. There's so much to say about Alice. Wow. You brought in Monastic Trio with, who's on this? We're listening to number one. Oh, Pharoah Sanders is on this. Jimmy Garrison.
Yes.
Ben Reilly. Mm-hmm. Love Ben Reilly. She's on piano on what we're going to hear, harp on 6 and 8, but not on Lord. Help Me to Be.
Help Me to Be.
Mm. I think we both used a little bit of that.
Oh, yes.
It's like, oh, my goodness.
In half of the world, yeah. If not the entire world.
Yeah. And what was your connection? Did you meet Alice? Did you?
No. And I have to be honest with you, as I move here and I start learning more and more about the tradition and musicians that were not available to us back home, I met her music, and I was, as everybody, mesmerized, and I started learning about her way of approaching life and whatever was available. And as a generation, I remember Jason Linder introduced me to her and how much he loves her and admire her and a few other people. And I started just, as I got signed by Verve, I was able to have access to some music that I did, and including that CD.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I put that CD on, it was one of those moments and one of those CDs that you're listening over and over and over again, and then you stop, and years later you cross path again and you play it, and then you have the same feeling like you have mm-hmm. never heard it before. And I could not believe that a woman could do so much beauty musically. And again, in this world, and not to separate it in sound anyways, but that's the reality. Even music in the world that we share is very dominated by men.
Yes, it is.
And coming from a country like Chile and going through the whole thing that I went going through, moving here and all this stuff that I have to hear, to come across a woman like her, it was just wow. It was such a confirmation and a push to continue believing in the force and the intimacy that you have with yourself as an artist and as a musician, and to learn slowly to trust that voice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working on it.
Yeah. I hear you.
You know.
So what are you working on musically? Are you
Well, after being a mom and other things in my personal life, I've been working on my first independent album, which it will come up at the end of this year if everything goes well.
Okay.
And I believe it's going to be called Chapters, because it's the first CD on my own, and it's been taking a little longer than what I wanted to come to life. And I believe it's been like a book that you read through seasons, so you move one chapter to another one.
Right.
So that's what I'm working on, it very proudly and happy. And I'm going to showcase fully a side of me as a composer or songwriter, if I may say. I'm taking that chance on this album.
Yeah. So who helped you with I mean, are there any people along the way who you credit for really helping you turn the corner as far as writing?
Oh man, you know, it's so many people in ways, and the people that comes to my mind in different directions are my friend Berenice, Harry Whitaker, Jason Linder, Avishai Cohen, Abby Lincoln, this poet that I used to see around the corner, Smalls, who used to just write poets and sell poets, and I bought a few from him, and a couple of times that I saw him, we had a talk, and just the beauty of expressing. A few strangers that I run that they had to talk beautifully about life and writing and not keeping anything to yourself. I think those has been the people who have the most encouraged me to take those steps to write and not, and basically, and I always remember one conversation many, many years ago that we had with Chick Corea, and it was a group of us, and he was so mesmerized, and he made this comment about how amazing it is that as artists, we take from nothing something and we create this piece. And in so many ways, is to me, the way I interpret it also is it's almost like walking naked. Because surely you share thoughts that are deep or even maybe experience, but the beauty is that you put this out there and someone could feel and read and hear a completely different message. And it will touch that person anyway, but in a different way.
Right,
and that's
right.
The beauty of this creation.
Yeah.
You know, and I never forgot about that.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Claudia Cunha, for bringing
it
in.
Anytime. I love it.
Anytime.
I love this hang.
I did not realize this is your maiden voyage, so to speak, here at WBGO. I figured you would have been interviewed several times over the years. I was wrong.
You were wrong.
I was wrong. Yes, yes. I've been wrong before. So let's talk in the last few minutes. Just talk about your upcoming afternoon gig at the Newark Museum Jazz in the Garden.
I'm coming back in 1 week.
I know. How about that? Hey, Newark's on the rise. I mean, at least you'll be here during the day so you can see what's happening around here in downtown Newark. It's quite exciting. All the new restaurants, businesses, apartments, renovations. It's really quite exciting.
Sweet.
And hopefully we'll be in the garden.
Yes, hopefully
we'll
rain.
Because we haven't been in the garden yet because of rain, impending rain, or the heat. So hopefully the universe will converge and we'll be able to be outside.
If
this
not,
Thursday.
We have plan B already
yes,
in place.
Inside with the air conditioning.
With AC, which is not such a bad thing.
Not such a bad thing, exactly. So who's going to be with you? What kind of stuff is should we expect to hear?
I will have the pleasure to play that day with the Chilean Connection.
Oh.
It's a project called the Chilean Connection, and it's Pablo Vergara on piano, Pablo Menares on bass, and Yayo Cerca on drums, and myself on voice and a few light percussion instruments. We will play an open selections of things from the upcoming album. I will include, since we're celebrating Ella's 100 years, I will include one of my old times favorite that she sang, My Romance, and I record that on my second album.
I love it on verb. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I played it last night because I love it so much.
I love that song. Yes. And then I will include also a song from Violeta Parra, our own amazing composer and singer from Chile, I have always played tribute to her. She was the first female musician that I admire as a child. And we're also celebrating back home her 100 years. And then I might include a few covers that I've been just loving. There's so much music. And there's a few songs of Stevie that I was thinking I should sing, like The Secret Garden, since we're going to be in the garden.
Oh, that song, yes.
And it's just so much music to sing. So I'm trying to still decide the full program, but for sure if some of the... A few songs from the upcoming record, a little tribute to Ella and her 100 years anniversary or birthday, and Violeta Parra. And
nice.
Yeah.
I'm looking so forward to
Me
this.
Me too.
Well, and I can't believe see how fast the time goes. So we're going to, do a little calendar here. And then we're going to start the 1 o'clock hour with something that you brought in. And tell us what we're going to hear.
We're going to hear Radio Tarifa. Radio Tarifa I mean, I might be giving the descriptions wrong, completely wrong. This is something very dearly to my heart and my brought ups in Chile. This mix of like flamenco, gypsy music with all this instrument. It's just bring me good memories of summer in Chile. So I just brought it just for the sweetness and melancholic fun. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. Well, it's been fun having you here this hour. And that does it for us for Salon Sessions. Again, I'm Sheila Anderson. She's Claudia Cunha, and she will be at the Newark Museum this coming Thursday from 12:15 to 1:45. We hope to see you. But don't touch that dial, because we have a lot more music, because you and I will be together until 6 a.m.